Hey Pittsburgh, welcome to From the Newsroom, Trib Life's podcast bringing you top stories straight from our newsroom. This episode, we delve into the high-stakes primary race for Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District, exploring and contrasting the strategies and the key issues shaping the contest between candidates Bhavani Patel and incumbent U.S. Representative Summer Lee. Patel is challenging Representative Lee for the seat in next week's ballot. Ryan Dito joins me to lay out the primary and walk us through the profile on both of these candidates. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is From the Newsroom. Ryan Dito has been covering Pittsburgh, Allegheny County news, and politics for the Trib since 2022. Before that, he covered Pittsburgh through the Pittsburgh City Paper, where he was also the managing editor. Hello, Ryan. I want to start by having you lay out the primaries for our listeners who may be new to voting or those who just aren't familiar with the process.
So April 23rd, we'll see Pennsylvania go to the polls. And, I'm going to decide some state house races, some Congress races, and some Senate races. Well, we're not going to really describe. The Senate is a kind of also a general election race. So mostly Congress and the state legislator.
Okay. So in this primary, there is a hot button contest, and that is between the Democratic incumbent for District 12, Summer Lee, and Bhavani Patel. Can you tell us a little bit about these candidates and provide some insights into the dynamics of this race?
Yeah, sure. So Summer Lee, she first won this race in 2022. So she became the new new congressperson for Pittsburgh, kind of the greater Pittsburgh area. You know, the district represents Pittsburgh, eastern suburbs, the Mon Valley, and a little bit of Westmoreland County as well. Before that, it was represented by Mike Doyle, who is a longtime Democrat. He served in this seat for 25 years. So it was a little bit of a changeover when we had that, because we had this kind of stalwart who had always been here, probably has the best Pittsburgh accent of any politician, I think, in the area. And now we have Summer Lee, who is a progressive insurgent. Her first foray into politics was in 2018, which was really a blue wave year, where a lot of really progressive Democrats came into popularity and won elections in the shadow of Donald Trump, becoming the nation's president. There was that pushback once Trump was president. It riled up a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives, and Summer Lee was really one of the encapsulations of that here in the Pittsburgh area. She won a state house seat from another 20-year incumbent, actually. She held that for a few years, and then she decided to run for Congress in 2022 and won. It was a close race in the Democratic primary, but she's able to hold on, and she's been in office for the last year plus. Her challenger, Bhavani Patel, is also kind of a sort of well-known candidate in the Democratic fold, but she's a little bit less of that progressive insurgent and more aligned with some of the traditional Democrats of our area, particularly former County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. She worked for Rich Fitzgerald. She had support from her him, and that's kind of the way she cut her cloth. As you know, I stand up for liberal values, but I also want to compromise where I need to. I want to get things done. I mean, this is all political rhetoric, so whether or not this matters or not. But that's kind of the dynamic of the race, is that Summer Lee, progressive, pushes things like Medicare for all, wants to see us tackle the environment more, Green New Deal, stuff like that. And then, Patel is more of, wants to see us raise the minimum wage, all the same things that like Lee kind of wants as well, but maybe with a little bit less activism and a little bit more behind the curtain.
So throughout the race, and more so in the beginning of the race, the Israel-Hamas war has impacted the narrative between both candidates. Can you tell us some of the ways that the situation is affecting our candidates and their support?
Yeah, well, I mean, the war broke out essentially when the race started. That was kind of, I don't think that happened on purpose. Patel got in the race before the war started. None of us knew exactly when this war was going to break out, right? It was pretty much a surprise to a lot of people that there finally was like an attack that led to a war, even though there had been a lot of smaller battles or smaller, attacks that never actually led to a full-scale war. So Patel gets in. And then this war breaks out, and it's essentially becomes the defining issue of the race early on. Summer Lee has always had more sympathies to the Palestinians than kind of the average politician. So she was one of the first politicians to sign on to a ceasefire, resolution. She had criticized Israel's actions towards Palestinians. They started bombarding Palestine and Gaza and leading to a lot of civilian deaths. And so that her stances on that led to some criticism from within Pittsburgh's Jewish community. Particularly, there were 40 rabbis that came out and, really condemned actually Lee. And it really kind of led to a little bit of a splintering when normally the many, many Pittsburgh Jews are Democrats, and they're one of the most consistent Democratic voters in our region, and concentrated in Squirrel Hill. And that became like an issue that maybe this could be the thing that pushes Lee out, even though she just got in. I should say too that Israel had already been an issue in her first election. Now, not actual policy that was discussed, but pro-Israel groups were very fervent in trying to defeat Lee. They spent $4 million in trying to defeat Lee against her then opponent, Steve Irwin, who also kind of aligned with more traditional Democrats in the area. And so there was always that specter there. And so once the war broke out, and we all thought that these pro-Israel groups would be just spending a lot of money in boosting someone like Patel, it seemed like it was going to be a tight race.
Now, we'll talk about this in a little bit more depth in the future, but right now I just wanted to note that during a debate late March, when asked about the Israel-Hamas situation, Lee first pointed to her condemnation of the Hamas attacks and then went on to say that she has always been committed to caring for and sympathizing with the issues that are being suffered through the Palestinian front. What can you tell me about how Patel used this in her the early parts of the race?
Yeah, well, Patel really jumped on this issue. She came out and said that one, she condemned basically every statement that Lee put out about the war. And she condemned votes that she had on resolutions. Republicans are in charge of the House right now, so they were just pummeling, the House with a lot of pro-Israel resolutions and ones that people who are a little bit more sympathetic to the Palestinians, none of these resolutions included anything like, oh, and we also condemn the suffering of the Palestinians or anything like that. So it made it hard for some people in Summer Lee's camp, which kind of this progressive, quote unquote, the squad, lawmaker, that they felt uncomfortable voting for those. So she voted against these pro-Israel, resolutions. And Patel was jumping on that. Patel was also criticizing Lee, claiming that she wasn't in the district, that she wasn't there for the Jewish people in the 12th district, of which there are probably like 50,000. Have a pretty large and very concentrated population of Jews in Pittsburgh. And she just kept on that. She kept saying these things. Again, she was, Lee was getting attacked by rabbis and all these other things. So she was kind of positioning herself as the pro-Jewish candidate, essentially, and the pro-Israel candidate. It seemed to be working early on because a lot of people were upset. A lot of people who maybe even voted for Lee, were upset. It's I think there's this idea that pro-Israel Jews, which, it's called Zionist Jews, Zion believe, they just believe that, Israel, that Jews have a place in Israel, essentially. A lot of people that might have, you know, voted for Sommer anyway because they believed in her progressive ideals, but they also are very pro-Israel, you know, it seemed like maybe those votes could have been peeled off. And then there were signs, and there's still signs that, like, they probably are, you know. Patel, through all of her activism, I mean, through all of her campaigning on this issue, was able to get what's called the 14th Ward Independent Club, Democratic Independent Club. And these are very progressive voters that live in Squirrel Hill. There's a large Jewish constituency in this club and in this district. And they endorsed Patel over Lee, even though Lee won the endorsement in the last time. So there was some of that. It seemed like there was a little bit of momentum towards Patel, especially early on in the race around this issue.
Seeing that this was something that Patel used to position or stake as a piece of her identity as a Democrat, let's move on to a Democrat identity. So can you lay out what that means when talking about these candidates?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the Democratic platform, really. You know, labor rights, you know, increasing the minimum wage, such a huge part of the platform. Obviously, reproductive rights, abortion access, especially given the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that has become probably priority number one on the Democratic side. Also support for LGBTQ rights and people, and what else? You know, tackling climate change, all these issues. Each candidate is essentially the same on. The one issue that's kind of splintering it a little bit is, you know, Israel, where you still have majority Democrats are still pro-Israel, but there's a growing smaller contingency that are critical of the Israeli military and critical of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. Not that they're not pro-Israel, but they're critical of these leaders in the same way that people would be critical of Donald Trump when he was president, or critical of Joe Biden, even though he's our president. Doesn't make you anti-American to be critical of a country's leader. But for the most part, again, these candidates are really share a lot of the same values, and they're running on a lot of the same things. There's a few issues where they differ. For the most part, they're the same. And it's kind of, there's kind of turned into a race of, well, who's more Democratic? Who's better at signaling that they're a better Democrat is essentially what this race has come down to, which is what these races usually come down to, which makes it a lot harder to defeat an incumbent if that's the only thing you're running on.
While there are a lot of similarities, it seems like their biggest difference seems to be in the way in which they like to go about their legislation or advocacy. I see that Lee is much more seen as a activist or more progressive, and Patel is the more traditional mainstream Democrat. When we look at the way that they interacted on the debate in late March, there were a lot of heated points in discussion, and a lot of it came from those identities of progressive activists and traditional mainstream. One piece that I saw where there was a lot of heated discussion was Patel calling out Lee for being aligned with a member of the administration that was calling for voters to vote uncommitted. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's this, you know, the uncommitted movement. It has kind of played out during the primary. And again, it's actually over the Israel-Hamas war. It's basically where in other states, you can actually, in the primary, you can vote uncommitted if there's a ballot position where you can say, I'm not committed to any of the candidates. I'm voting uncommitted. We saw this in Michigan and Minnesota and some other states. Now, here in Pennsylvania, there's a campaign to do the same, but we don't have a ballot position for that. You have to write in. You have to do a write-in vote and then write in uncommitted. So there's a movement for that. I would say it's pretty nascent. It's not, I don't think it has the same momentum as these other states. One, because you have to actually just write it in. It's literally harder to vote for it. Two, President Biden has, turned up criticism on Israel and their attacks against the Palestinians, and so it's a little bit less pressure. But that campaign is still happening, and we'll see exactly what happens on Election Day. But Patel is saying, why aren't you denouncing this uncommitted movement, Lee? You know, I'm denouncing it. This, we need to have all hands on deck need to be supporting Biden in his quest to defeat Trump. That should be the goal. Now, Lee says the same exact thing though. Now she's not denouncing this uncommitted movement. She's saying that, well, you know, voters can vote, you know, this is a primary, voters can vote, you know, how they want, basically. Now, Joe Biden has already cinched up the nomination, essentially. And he doesn't, there's one other candidate on the Democratic ballot, but that candidate has dropped out of the race. His name is still on the ballot. But I think that's what Lee is saying, is that I can, you know, Lee says, I can support Joe Biden and his causes, and he's an ally of mine. And, you know, she talks about how she works with him to bring back $1 billion to the district. She works with him on infrastructure. She does all those things. But, you know, during the primary, she says people should voice their opinion on how they feel, you know? And then when it comes to the general, then it's time to make sure that it's going to be Biden versus Trump, and to make sure that, you know, everybody, every Democrat supports Joe Biden. So it really is that difference of style. It's kind of like, well, you know, Patel is saying, I'm more aligned right now, and we need to be more forthcoming in that. Lee is saying we can be aligned, but we can also share our differences too, which is honestly, and it's an encapsulation of the Democratic Party. Democratic Party is supposedly a big tent party, right? You're going to have a lot of different voters, and it does have a lot of different voters. It has the Black community has always been a huge part of the Democratic Party. They don't have the same priorities as the LGBTQ community or the Jewish community or the, you know, working class community. So that's kind of what Lee is saying. It's like, hey, we can be a big tent. Let's share these things. Patel is saying there's no margin for error. We can't criticize within the party during this time where there's no margin for error, essentially.
Also, during the debate, there were multiple points where Patel directly asked Lee to denounce the uncommitted movement. And Lee never specifically took the time to denounce the movement. I also noticed that there were points in the questions where Patel was asked to specifically say or not say things. And I wanted to know if you could tell us a little bit about when she was questioned about her support for Israel during the Israel-Hamas war portion of the debate.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, during the debate, we had this issue of Lee not openly denouncing the uncommitted movement, right? Which Patel is trying to say to use to her advantage. Now, Patel was also asked about her support for Israel and whether or not we should basically how much aid should we give to Israel? Should we be thinking about conditioning aid? And, you know, was really asking, should we make sure that we always are giving aid to Israel in the way that a very pro-Israel politician would say, of course we should always give aid. Now, she didn't say that. She kind of hemmed and said, well, no, she dodged the question for, you know, essentially. And which just says that, again, this is public sentiment is changing on this Israel question. And what was a huge part of the race and what seemed like most people were on Israel's side of this war in October, that is shifting, especially among Democratic voters. And we're seeing now a majority of Democratic voters are sympathetic to Palestinians. And so that is forcing the politicians to, you know, respond. And where Lee didn't really, you know, Lee is now benefiting from that. And now Patel is kind of struggling to articulate how to thread that needle.
So just before we wrap up, as the election gets closer, what are the prospects on the other end of Election Day?
So, I mean, from all of the political experts I talked to, they say Lee is in the driver's seat in this race. She has a lot more money, like three to four times as much more money. The outside spending in this race is about equal between Lee's allies and Patel's allies. So that gives the advantage to Lee. She has more spending. There's more ads that are boosting her than there are boosting Lee in the district. And that's the best way to reach voters, actually, still to this day, is through ads on TV and radio and online. And that puts Lee in an advantage. She's able to take advantage of the fact that she's already in the seat. She's already working to bring home money to the district. She's meeting with President Biden's cabinet members like Pete Buttigieg and Janet Yellen. And so she's kind of able to, you know, solidify herself. And it seems like right now, and barring some huge change in the last week of the race, which is always possible, that Lee has the advantage. So now it doesn't mean that people are going to vote that way, but that's what the prognosticators are saying.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Voting for the Pennsylvania primaries takes place on Tuesday, April 23rd. To read the full story on the PA-12 candidates, more stories by Ryan Dito, or more stories on election coverage and top stories from the Trib, visit triblive.com. I'm Zach Gibson, and this is Trib Lives from the Newsroom.